This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Hi everyone, Jacob Patterson here, the KBPS radio broadcasting instructor at Benson High School. Want to let you know that you are invited to a really cool event being hosted by our very first affiliate of the Student Hour, Portland Radio Project. You can join Portland Radio Project this Sunday, October 22nd, at their studios at the Old Moody Building under the west end of the Ross Island Bridge to help them celebrate their 10th anniversary. Share the afternoon with PRP and some of their community partners from 1 to 5 p.m. They'll have local live music, light bites to enjoy, and all kinds of fun. You can help Portland Radio Project usher in their next 10 years and join the PRP volunteer family because they're looking for more local artists and culture-minded folks who get why community radio is so important. Visit PRP online at prp.fm for more details. Mark your calendars now, Sunday, October 22nd from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Old Moody Building under the west end of the Ross Island Bridge. It is the public open house celebration of Portland Radio Project's 10th anniversary. It's free, sure to be a blast, and hope to see you there.
AM 1450 and KBPS.AM, October 27th.
October 27th.
The release of 1989 Taylor's version.
I am not surprised that you know this. I know you are quite the big Swiftie. You know?
I am a Swiftie. I am such a Swiftie, and I'm so excited for 1989 Taylor's version. But before this, on October 13th, she's releasing the Eras Tour, the movie, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's like the whole Eras Tour, but in a movie, because they were filming it. And I can't wait for that. I'm probably going to go see it sometime as soon as I can get the tickets or actually do that. But 1989 Taylor's version, recently a bunch of Swifties solved some puzzles online and revealed all the vault tracks from 1989 Taylor's version. So we're gonna let you know what those vault tracks are, and there were a lot of them. James, do you remember seeing any of them?
I actually wasn't really too informed when this was all happening, you know. I was a little bit in the dark, you could say.
Yeah, no, that was literally me. Like, they solved those puzzles so fast.
I know,
like, I didn't even get to solve a puzzle.
It was all like the Twitter users were all over that.
I know, right? It was crazy. Anyway, so there's already two tracks that Taylor has released from 1989 Taylor's version. Wildest Dreams came out a long time ago. Like, I think it was like all over. Wildest Dreams was all over TikTok, and Taylor was like, you know what? Since y'all are using Wildest Dreams, here's my version.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and then for those of us who don't know, Joe, do you want to explain what Taylor's version of songs
are?
Be an important little detail.
Okay, yeah, I totally get that. Because, like, at first, like, when Taylor Swift
when
anyway?
When you were a novice, not only an amateur Swiftie.
Yeah, exactly. So, basically, Taylor Swift has 10 studio albums.
Right.
Taylor Swift, Fearless, Speak Now, 1989, Reputation, Lover, Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights. And that's the exact order right there. So first six albums, so Taylor Swift through Reputation, those were under, I think, Big Machine Records or whatever the name of that label was.
Too important.
Yeah, her last four, so Lover, Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights, are under her new record where she owns those masters or something like that. But the basic premise was those first six albums, all those masters got sold off to someone without Taylor's consent, without her knowing. And that's sort of messed up, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It's her music, so she should be able to own the rights to that music. She should be able to own that music.
Yeah, it's her art. Like, the idea that it was just, like, not, like, and especially sold off without her even, like, having the opportunity to buy them. Because I'm sure, like, if she was She's got like millions of dollars.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The Eras Tour is grossing like $1 billion. Like, she could buy those if she wanted, but no, it was like some backdoor shady deal.
And also, have you seen those concert tickets? She could definitely afford those.
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen those going for like what? Like
3,000? Yeah, it's crazy.
3,000.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. For, well, like for like floor seats, but like back of the house was like still 1,000, but still crazy.
Back of the house, 1,000. That's pretty insane. I mean, I remember going to a concert a couple weeks ago. It was probably like $40 for like floor tickets. I mean, there was only a floor, but
crazy. Anyway. Back to Taylor's version. So they were just sold off without her like even like knowing about it, which is just crazy and so pretty messed up. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to re-record all my first six albums and release them under my own label. And then so she did. So she's re-recording all those songs, all those albums under Taylor's version. And think about how crazy that is. Like, putting out music in the first place is not easy.
Oh,
but like,
absolutely.
You re-record like six whole albums after doing it in the first place.
Like some of your biggest hits on those albums too.
And you know, maybe you sung about like an ex that was like way in the past. You don't want to think about him anymore. Maybe
or, you know, it's like
had someone featured and you know.
I also feel like it's hard, especially with like what you were saying, like with a like ex in the past. You don't have that same like passion. Maybe she does, but it's kind of hard to like gather that same. I mean, not enthusiasm, but that same drive to sing about that.
I think if there's anything we've witnessed over the past few months from Taylor Swift is that she can do anything.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm fully confident that all these re-releases are going to be like amazing.
Yeah, hit after hit for
but,
sure.
I mean, that's so difficult. Like, even like still, like all the people being like, oh, Taylor Swift, da 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 da, you know? But it's like, I'd like to see you put out like 10 albums. Like, but no, it's so crazy. And I'm really excited to hear them all. And especially, it's so great that she's being able to own her masters. And these are going to be really cool. She's going to have like, it's going to be more mature vocals. And just being able to like hear something fresh and new, you know, the songs that we were all listening to, what, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, just being re-released, giving like a breath of new life into it, which is so, so cool. So Taylor Swift, she started out with Fearless. She started re-recording Fearless, and that was her second studio album. And, you know, whether it's the top tracks in that one, like Fearless and Love Story.
Those are the only ones I can remember.
I mean, I love Taylor Swift. I just really haven't delved too much into Fearless that much.
I think some of her older albums are also a little harder to get into, a little raunchier.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because, like, Taylor, like, she started out as, like, a country artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then,
I mean, that
like,
really shines in that first album. You can definitely tell that that's where she started. And then she slowly started kind of evolving into the pop area that she's in now.
Yeah, and you can definitely, like, looking back on her, like, what on Speak Now and Red, especially Red, you can hear she's like getting into pop. She's moving. You can hear the progression. If you were to listen to all those albums in order, you would hear her moving away from that country and into that pop. And then 1989 comes along, and it's just all pop. And that's what's so exciting about 1989 Taylor's version coming on October 27th. It's that 1989 was
huge. It's that defining album.
It was like her first pop album.
Mm-hmm.
Like before that came Red. And that was, you know, it was a great album, but like it was still like a bit, you know, more country.
Yeah, absolutely. Know?
But 1989 Taylor's version is going to be huge because like all the songs on that were huge. Anyway, we're going off on such tangents, but she started out with Fearless. Then she re-recorded Red, so Taylor's version. And a really fun thing with that one is All Too Well, the 10-minute version. All Too Well. Who was that breakup song about?
I am not.
We've got a consultant in the back room here. In the background, let's see. Taylor, you're not close to a mic, but can you tell us who was All Too Well about?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, Taylor, our shadow consultant behind the mic here. Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, you're right. It's Jake Gyllenhaal. But originally, like All Too Well was what, like 3-4 minute song. And then, like in some interview, she like let slip, like, oh, you know, All Too Well was originally like a 10-minute song. And then all the Swifties were like, release the 10-minute version. So she did for Red Taylor's version. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Love that song. And then she recently, a few months ago, released Speak Now Taylor's version, her third album, which was amazing. Some of the vault tracks on that were so cool. And so many Easter eggs, especially in the I Can See You Taylor's version music video. She was driving away at the end of that video in a van. And there was, like, some sign on some bridge. Mm-hmm. It was really far away.
Yeah.
And it said 1989 TV for Taylor's version.
Oh, wow. You got that your whole entire
thing
memorized. Wow.
We know. Yeah, it's night. And before that, in the Karma featuring Ice Spice music video, you know, she started out as this statue, and on the statue it said 1989 in Roman numerals, and then after that came something that was like obviously Reputation, like Coden, and then after that was like something from like The Wizard of Oz, which was like a debut thing. So that leads me to think that after we get 1989, we're going to be getting Reputation's Taylor version, and she's going to take it full circle. She's going to do debut Taylor's version. So Taylor Swift, Taylor's version, her very first album is going to be the last one that she's going to redo. I think that's true, but I just can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be really exciting, especially for like a Swiftie fan, be able to see her like release all of those albums. Like, you see some of your favorite albums, you listen to them, and then you get to see her re-release those albums. It's like reliving that same experience. And maybe the premise under why she has to do it isn't like, the best, but the fact that they're still re-releasing and being able to see all of those albums release, it kind of fills you up with that almost childlike joy, I guess, is what that's what I call it,
Exactly. And, like, who says she's stopping now? Like, after she re-releases all these, like, she's gonna, like, I could totally see her going for so many more albums. And like,
why would she not? She's doing so well right now. She's just hitting her peak.
Not even be, like, at her peak right now. Yeah.
There's still ways to go. She could still climb up even further.
Gets richer. I just spent, like, $90 on two Taylor Swift shirts. So, anyway, what were we? 1989. Yeah, definitely really exciting. And we know that she said after like maybe Fearless or Red Taylor's version, like, oh, I'm not gonna, release any new albums until like I re-record all of them. And then she drops Midnights, which was amazing. James
album looks
like he is about ready to like turn off this mic and play some games on his phone. And Taylor in the background looks like she's ready for me to stop talking. So I'm just going to let you know what those vault tracks were for 1989. Don't hit that button yet, James. I see you. We're going to tell you about those vault tracks from 1989, Taylor's version. So just looking through the list right now, we've got, was this Love on the original release? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
I only remember, like, the first 10 tracks in that one. Yeah. See, Wonderland, Taylor's version. You Are in Love, Taylor's version. I can't say that word on air, Taylor's version. It's a word that starts with, I can't say that on air. but it's the 17th track on 1989, Taylor's version, which I'm not going to say on air because I can't, because it's not a good word. But we're going to skip over that. Don't Say Go, Taylor's version. Now That We Don't Talk, Taylor's version. Suburban Legends, Taylor's version. And Is It Over Now, Taylor's version. Definitely super exciting. And also, just a quick Easter egg, 1989, Taylor's version is the only album art cover where Taylor Swift is on there smiling, which is pretty cool. Anyway, James, roll the next song. Hit the button. Here we go. Hit it.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm. And KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kboo.fm. and our new affiliate, X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you.
Hello, this is AM1450. I am Travis Keller, and today I'm going to talk about one of my favorite games of all time, Titanfall 2. When did Titanfall 2 come out? It came out in October 16. It's been a popular game since then. It has been one of the most best stories by many people, thinking it was going to be the game of its life. It still was until it kind of dropped during like 2020 due to major glitches saying it would kick you off matchmaking. The update in 2023, Respawn has taken quite some measures to make sure that we get the updates that we need to make sure that we can play Titanfall 2 again like the community we once were. Thank you, Respawn, for making these changes. I don't know how long ago the update was, but this game meant so much to me. I used to be one of the best players on this. I used to challenge people all the time with Colosseum and all that. They've now are constantly changing the game modes that people are playing, like Spicy Attrition, and now it's like changing almost every other day or week. They changed it so much. I've heard that there's new skins for the game as well. They've didn't change anything much at all. They fixed a lot of things about Titanfall 2. One of the things that most people were thinking was there might be a Titanfall 3, but the fact that they're showing love to Titanfall 2 is one of their biggest like compliments to the community of like people who play Apex, which Apex is the main reason why people are getting in money. One of the other things I do want to mention is Titanfall. I've been playing it for about over, I'm going to say a good 5 years. And I used to be one of the top 1,000 people on who do good movement, know how to use all the players, maps from back to back. I used to do what a weapon would be called a Kraber, which would be a sniper rifle in the game. I feel like it's the hugest adjustment. Also, to update people, I did this recording 9/12/2023. This is a huge like thank you to everybody in Respawn. If this keeps happening and I'm wishing a Titanfall 3 coming out, this will be one of the best games that Respawn has ever released and maybe ever launched. And talking about launch, after the update was fixed, it was 146% gain. It went from August 2023 to the Steam charts from 1,516 players a day. Like past 30 days, it was an average. Now there's 3,744 players average. That is so much. That is 146.83% increase of players. Thank you, Respawn, for giving us this present and joy of having this wonderful game we call Titanfall 2. This is Travis Keller signing out.
Teufel in mir drin, durch die ganze Nacht. Frag mich, warum denk ich so viel nach. Gift in meinen Adern, doch ich nimm noch mehr. Und ich mach noch weiter, auch wenn es nur schadet. Mir stehen Body und ich fühl mich frei. Bin am Fliegen, Bro, ich bin so high.
Hello listeners, this is Talia McKelvey from AM1450 KBPS. Today I'll be talking about why Mackenzie Kerman chose her category or pathway to be radio. All right, Kinsey, so you chose radio to be your pathway class. Why did you choose it over construction or tech? Like, why did you choose CTE classes over tech skills or health oc?
Because my family has done this class before, and they recommended it to me because it seemed fun. And most of my friends, we were all thinking about it, and we all were just thinking it would just be the most funnest class that we could do. And it just seems like my type of thing. Like, I like to listen to music and, like, talk. So this just seemed like the best pathway to go.
What makes radio different from the other CTE classes? Like, what goes out to you, or what stands out to you?
We get to learn, like, communication skills, and we all get to just bond together. We all, like, get to listen to all, like, music that we like to listen to. We're going to go on fun field trips, and just, yeah, we get to go on air where a lot of people can listen, and we can spread a word, and yeah.
Who is your on-air partner, just for the people who don't know?
Talia is.
Oh, okay. How do you like Jacob as your radio teacher?
I like Jacob a lot. He's super nice. Like, he, like, gives us, like, he's, like, very, he's not strict at all. He's, like, very chill, and, like, yeah. Jacob is a cool teacher in general.
Do you think you'll be able to pass this class with an A?
Yeah, easy.
All right. And that is it for my questions for Mackenzie Kerman on why she chose radio. Again, my name is Talia McKelvey from AM 1450 KBPS. Thanks for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO. Many promises, but they always pray. You won't let many promises, many promises, but they always pray.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm. And KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kboo.fm. And our new affiliate, X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you.
Too many promises, but they always break. You won't let too many promises, but they always break.
Hello, AM 1450 KBPS. This is Dane, and here we have CJ and Makai DE. Hi, guys.
Greetings.
So, something you might be picking up, that we are very tired.
Oh,
let's talk about that.
We are absolutely crushed.
Connor, why are you so tired?
By not sleeping.
I didn't get enough sleep.
How much sleep did you get?
Less than 8 hours, I can tell you that much.
Less than eight? How much less than eight?
I don't know. It was in between 6 and 8.
Okay,
I think the
bad.
Man's too tired to know how much he didn't sleep, my man.
All right, Makai, you're tired. How much did you sleep?
No.
How much did you sleep?
Nothing. I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
How are you even functioning?
Coffee, sugar, and pure spite.
Pure spite. Okay, listeners, if you want to stay awake, pure spite
no.
is the way to go.
No, the way to do this is to get a proper sleep schedule, to cut off from technology, to eat food. Do not do as we are doing, listeners. It is not healthy.
So does that mean I shouldn't browse TikTok until 4 in the morning?
Exactly. That means you should not do that at all.
It's actually a study found. I don't actually have the study on me, so I guess take it with a grain of salt. But that even having a phone near you makes it so that you sleep worse because you know you can go and get to it. So it's recommended that you put it in a place out of sight and far away from you. Additionally, blue light makes it so that your body produces less melatonin, which means that you sleep less. Melatonin is the sleep drug your body makes. So what you really need to do is 30 minutes before you go to bed, just put away your phone. Don't even look at it or any screen.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I should definitely move my phone from under my pillow.
Yeah, dude. A way that I've found that helps me cut off from technology, like I do, says the man who hasn't slept, but one way that I've heard is very helpful is to, like, have a routine set up when you're going to bed in which you put your phone away, you do things that relax you, maybe you have some tea or, like, you read a book or something that then gets you into the mood of sleep without having that phone as, like, a constant little buzz, 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 buzz. Don't sleep. Yeah. No sleep. I can't take that advice because spite and my brain.
Sometimes I personally can't sleep, and it's not because of devices or whatever. I'm actually very good about putting my phone away, but that I'll be very nervous, and that's why I can't sleep. And something that helps you're really nervous or, you know, they have some strong feeling is that you can listen to the radio. And that's actually what I do, dear listener, is I'll tune into NPR or there's a classical music station that I cannot remember the name of. I'm so sad. That is very good, and I just listen, and it helps me go to sleep. What about you guys? What if you can't sleep, and it's not technology-related? I'm guessing it's always technology-related.
Something that really helps me and something that also affects me greatly is temperature issues. I have a lot of issues with heat and, like, being too hot when I sleep, so something that really helps me is just not having blankets and opening the window and sleeping, like, curled up on the window. But also listening to the radio also helps me out quite a lot.
I always get some very, very boring reading material, like Orkin driver's manual. Just like open that up, you'll be asleep within 10 minutes, trust me. Easy.
I also kind of do something similar. I like reading dictionaries and like home economic manuals.
All right, so boring reading, radio, make sure your phone's away. I think something that we kind of touched on but not fully was routine. Like making sure you're doing the same thing so that your body knows it's time to go to bed. Something else you can do is you can get physical melatonin, which is your body's sleep drug, and you can take that as a supplement. That's what I do. All right. Any other tips and tricks for sleeping from the No Sleep Gang?
You haven't been giving enough advice.
I've been giving lots. I talked about putting your phone away and not having your lights on. I mean,
I did say that. Okay.
About blue light and how you shouldn't have that. And there's actually glasses that are made for that block out blue light, but I think they're pretty expensive, and it kind of feels like a niche product for rich people, but I don't know. Mm.
Do you like weighted blankets?
I think my mother used to have one. I don't really use them a lot. I think they're kind of weird because it's kind of too hot, and then it just weighs me down.
Yeah, I wish weighted blankets were useful. It's just a heat thing, as I mentioned. If they had like a heated blanket that had, like, ice packs in it. Not heated.
A reverse heated blanket.
Yeah, a reverse heated blanket, but also a weighted blanket. That would be, like, perfect.
Like sleeping a water bed, but it's a blanket?
Yes,
oh, that sounds
maybe
amazing.
Yeah, do you have experience with water beds? I've never tried a water bed
I haven't
before
either.
Aw, dang.
It sounds so cool, though.
They seem horrifying. Like what if like, a fish grows in there? Or like
fish don't grow, guy.
Not exactly how it works, but yes.
Maybe you got like a fish egg in there when they filled up the water, or like, and then it grew in there, and then it got a fish under you. That's weird.
I'd love to have a fish under me, but
no, it would be bad for the fish.
Tricking your friends by planting a fish in their bed.
Wouldn't that be so interesting? Also, like, I bet there's water beds that are clear and that are actually aquariums because
that would
rich
be cool
people would do that.
Because
that's so
people
bad for the fish, though.
No, I mean,
not necessarily. Like, if you get the pH and the water temperature and everything that you need for an aquarium correct, then I think a fish could be quite happy in a waterbed.
That was a delightful conversation. You've been listening to AM 1450 KBPS. Stay tuned. You are listening to The Student Hour.
Good day, listeners, and thanks for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Shanty by Slowdive. It was released on September 1st and produced by Neil Halstead. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back. Slow Dive is a mesmerizing sonic journey that effortlessly transports listeners to a dream, ethereal realm. Released as part of their Everything is Alive album, the song encapsulates the essence of a shoegaze genre, characterized by its lush layers of guitars and hazy atmospherics. The track opens with hauntingly beautiful guitar work that sets a contemplative tone, gradually building in intensity as Rachel Goswell's soft, angelic vocals wash over the listener like waves on a tranquil beach. Slow Dive's signature use of reverb and distortion creates a sense of otherworldliness, inviting the audience to lose themselves in its sonic tapestry. Shanty is a sonic masterpiece that showcases the band's ability to craft a sonic landscape that's simultaneously introspective and expansive, making it a timeless gem in the shoegaze genre. The lyrics of Shanty are enigmatic and open to interpretation, adding to the song's mystique. They touch upon themes of nostalgia, longing, and the passage of time, creating an emotional depth that resonates with listeners on a profound level. Slow Dive's ability to convey complex emotions through their music is one of their defining strengths, and Shanty is a prime example of their lyrical and sonic powers. Overall, Shanty by Slow Dive is a hauntingly beautiful and evocative piece of music that continues to captivate and enchant listeners with its timeless allure, proving its status as a classic within the shoegaze genre and beyond. This is Zip from KBPS.
Hello, listeners. My name is Nate Baldwin from AM 1450 KBPS, and I'm here with Sydney to interview him about music production. You want to introduce yourself, Sydney?
Sure. My name's Sydney. I'm a junior here at KBPS program, and I go by Lil Sprite as my producer name.
Very cool.
I've been producing for like a few years, like 2 years.
Pretty cool. So, Sydney, how did you get into music production?
Well, in the seventh grade, me and my friends, we had a rap group called Skiing Cappuccino, and we would like rap over these beats from the internet.
Yeah.
And so that, like, after that, you know, that like planted the seed in my head to like get going on that. And so when I became a freshman, I decided, you know, I'm gonna make my own album and start producing. So then I produced my debut song, Red Flags, and the rest was history.
Yeah, Red Flags, certified banger, you know. That was some good music.
100%.
So what would you say inspires you to make music? Like, you know, any artists, any, just anything?
You know, I feel like my friends inspire me to make music because they laugh and they're entertained by it. And as long as someone's listening to it, I'm happy. And someone's being enjoyed, I'm happy with that. I'm also inspired by some of my favorite rappers like Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar, and Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah, that's some good advice, you know, as long as people are listening to it, as long as it's entertaining, you know. So what would you say helps you, like, stay motivated to produce music?
I'm going to admit sometimes it's pretty hard to stay motivated, but I just think about my listeners and my fans, and, you know, that's what keeps things steady. You know, I don't really know what to say.
What made you choose music over other creative mediums like, you know, art or writing? Like, what's so special about music?
Well, I feel like with music, you can tell, like, stories. And with the audio, it's just incredible, the technology we have nowadays to create with sound, you know. That's kind of the reason. It's just, like, sound. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Music is pretty cool. It can be really beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
What genre of music do you make?
I'm a rapper, so I make rap and hip-hop music. I've also been trying to make more, like, alternative music lately on my new album, so I'm really excited to start improving my skills, too.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to the next Lil Sprite.
Yeah, Lil Sprite on SoundCloud, everyone.
Would you say you prefer making beats or writing lyrics?
You know, I feel like I like making beats better. It's more, like, entertaining for me. Just to, like, go on my keyboard thing, like, play the drums and hear how it sounds and turn up the, you know, I just feel like that's what I'm really going for, the beats.
Yeah. like experimenting.
Yeah, it's really fun.
What is the process like for making a song? Like, how do you go about it?
So first, you know, sometimes I'm just like experiencing my life. You know, my life is pretty crazy. And I just like think of like random things that are happening and I put them in the music and I make it rhyme together. And then when I get home, I try to find like a flow for all of it and then make a beat off of the flow. Yeah. And then try to put it all together to make like some sort of a rough product and then go from there. I have a lot of those just sitting around waiting.
Yeah, that's kind of the best type of music in my opinion, you know, when it's really like just the artist like expressing how their life and what's going on. Like that's when it gets really creative, really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite part about making music?
My favorite part is probably making the beats. Mm-hmm. And it's also cool, like the collaborative aspect, like when I bring other people on to hear it and they give me feedback, or I bring someone on to go over one of my beats. I feel like that's like a beautiful thing, you know, like creation. It inspires me to keep going.
Yeah. Do you plan on pursuing music production as a career?
You know, I want to at least do it as a hobby for as long as I can. Mm-hmm. But I want to do something audio production related. That's why I joined radio here at KBPS for my mm-hmm. major. But I don't know where life's going to take me, and I can't really say yet.
Well, it's good. It's good that you enjoy it. It's good that you're doing what you love, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally, do you have any tips for people who want to get into music production?
My first tip is to get GarageBand and play with the tools on there. It's free on Mac and iPhone. And second tip is, like, it doesn't have to be perfect right away, and you'll eventually get it. Like, my song, Red Flags, it wasn't the greatest, so I kept going and changing, and I feel like I can make better music than I did back then.
Yeah, for sure. That's some good advice. Well, thank you, Sydney, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It was a really nice interview.
Yeah. And thank you, listeners, for listening to The Student Hour. This has been Nate Baldwin and Sydney from AM 1450 KBPS.
Hello, my name is Jose, and I'm a senior this year. My honor partner is my friend Travis, and I like him being my radio partner because he brings good energy to the radio room. He's also fun to hang out while we go on air. A club I am in is called BATS, which stands for Benton's Auditorium Technical Staff. BATS as a whole sets up events like with audio, like speakers, mics, and even music. Another thing BATS does is lights whenever the event calls for it, like the Rose Festival Pride Band at the Marshall Campus Auditorium last year, where we had to check all the audio gear like mics and speakers while also doing the lights for the band. Another event BATS helped set up and hosted was the KBPS 100 Centennial Celebration. Some genres of music that I love are rock, abstract rap, indie rock, alternative rock, and a bit of metal. Artists that I love to listen to are MF Doom, Dorothy, Arctic Monkeys, Imagine Dragons, Linkin Park, and Coldplay, and a little bit of Greta Van Fleet, considering with how much Jacob is playing in the room. Some of the songs that I can name off the bat are Viva La Vida by Coldplay, Do I Want to Know by Arctic Monkeys, Meet the Master by Greta Van Fleet, In the End by Linkin Park, Rest in Peace by Dorothy, and some of my favorite memories at KBPS were finding out about the BATS Club through my friend Travis and even Jacob, my radio teacher, and the BATS teacher alongside his friend Mike, who is a professional at what BATS does. Another favorite memory of mine was attending and helping set up this centennial celebration event for KBPS with the BATS and some of the seniors last year. Goals that I wish to accomplish are finishing high school, going into college to learn more about the radio and audio gear. Another goal I wish to accomplish is being able to do 400 pounds on a squat, and I hope all my classmates who take the class with me will be cheering me on when I finally achieve that. Control.
name's Cole, and I'm with KBPS, and I'm interviewing
Josh.
And I'm going to be asking you 10 questions today, Josh.
Let's get this on.
So, what's your name, Josh?
My name is Josh.
That's a pretty cool name. My father's name is Josh.
Nice.
Yeah. My next question is, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color is purple.
Well, well, well. Why is it purple?
Because it reminds me of purple Kool-Aid.
Third question. Where are you from?
Ethiopia. I was born in America, though my parents are from Ethiopia.
Where in America?
Portland, Oregon. The great city.
Real?
Yeah.
What car do you drive?
A 2018 Dodge Charger Daytona.
And why did you decide to buy that car?
I don't know. My heart just chose it. It's something that I've always loved, you know. It's just something about Dodge.
Well, well, well. How many years have you been wanting this car? Is this like a dream car?
Man, since I was a baby, bro.
You came out and you're just like, dude, gotta get this 2018 Daytona.
Yep.
How much did you pay for it? You get a good deal?
Yeah, I got it for about $2,500.
Real?
Yeah, real.
Yeah, in shambles. What's the best car in Benson's parking lot?
Honestly, that's going to be a hard one, but I'm going to have to say Lewis's WRX.
That car is trash.
Yo, it's my favorite.
But you don't even like the Maserati?
The Mazzy Fernando's?
Yeah.
I was in it today, actually. It's actually really nice. But he's not keeping it, though.
Why?
Because this is grandpa's.
Oh. Damn, that's crazy. My grandma got an Aston Martin. She won't let me drive to school.
Oh, yeah. I drove it before. I drove your grandma's Aston Martin.
Yeah. The Vantage is a 6-speed.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite car in Benson's parking lot?
Honestly, I'm going to say either Bayani's BMW, bruh.
Why?
It's fast. And I hate fast cars.
It's trash. What's your opinion on the actual best car in the parking lot, the Toyota Sienna?
Oh, I completely forgot about that. 10 out of 10 car. I love it. I love the space. I love the driver. He's really nice. Yeah, I'll give it 10. I'll say that's like actually.
Yeah, that car is clean. What car needs to come back to Ben's parking lot, Josh?
D21 Ali. Oh, actually, no. Jawan Civic.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Yep. We need that back, Jawan. We need the Honda back.
Yeah, but where is it? Where's the Honda? Where the Honda at?
Yeah, where's it at?
Where's that? What's your favorite Volkswagen in a parking lot, bro?
Definitely not the GTI. I'll give it to the Jetta.
Yeah,
the Jetta for life.
What's the best Honda in a parking lot?
Currently,
yeah.
Currently,
or next weekend when that really nice black Integra, this really cool
that's,
dude
that's
I know. That.
That's actually an Acura.
Who?
That's actually an Acura.
Acura and Honda are the same thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say the best Honda. I'm going to say me.
Yeah, your Dodge.
Dodge Honda.
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, no. The Honda Monkey, the motorcycle, bro. That one's so tough.
It's badass.
I edit that out.
Yeah. But, well, Joshua, are you going to let me drive the Daytona?
One day.
Today?
Today's the day.
Yeah, we will have a video on our YouTube at Tyler from the Nutty North.
Yo, we don't speak about that. Cut that out.
Why?
We don't speak about that no more.
Why not? It's a good channel. Yeah, that was of course KBPS with
Josh.
We out.
Hi, everyone. Jacob Patterson here, the KBPS radio broadcasting instructor at Benson High School. Want to let you know that you are invited to a really cool event being hosted by our very first affiliate of the Student Hour, Portland Radio Project. You can join Portland Radio Project this Sunday, October 22nd, at their studios at the Old Moody Building under the west end of the Ross Island Bridge to help them celebrate their 10th anniversary. Share the afternoon with PRP and some of their community partners from 1 to 5 p.m. They'll have local live music, light bites to enjoy, and all kinds of fun. You can help Portland Radio Project usher in their next 10 years and join the PRP volunteer family because they're looking for more local artists and culture-minded folks who get why community radio is so important. Visit PRP online at prp.fm for more details. Mark your calendars now, Sunday, October 22nd from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Old Moody Building under the west end of the Ross Island Bridge. It is the public open house celebration of Portland Radio Project's 10th anniversary. It's free, sure to be a blast, and hope to see you there. If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm. And KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kboo.fm. And our new affiliate, X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.